Speaking to our hearts, let's turn our Bibles, please, to Psalm 62. And I thought I'd read this psalm. We read this morning Psalm 139 in this brief four-message series on the work of the Lord and the life of the believer. And right in keeping with the songs that we've been hearing this evening, and of course for the other meetings as well, I thought I would read this complete psalm. Psalm 62. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Then these great verses, verse 5, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are a vapor, men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. And here's the verse I'd like to really focus on. Verse 11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. And God will certainly bless the reading and obedience to his word. Well, we're continuing again in the series that we started yesterday, the work of the Lord and the life of the believer. And we're looking at different aspects of God's person and work in our lives to conform us to the image of his Son. We heard that in those verses from 2 Peter chapter 1, the reminder to us that we need to add to our faith virtue and all those wonderful Christian graces that eventually culminate into a deeper love for the Lord and deeper love for one another. We mentioned the portion in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and out of faith unfeigned. That's what it should lead to, a sincere faith. And so God's desire for every believer in Christ is this ongoing character development program to make us more like Christ, to conform us to His image. And He uses trials to accomplish that. He uses personalities and people in our lives, the sandpaper, we might say, of certain situations to smooth us down and make us more like the person of Christ. I remember once talking to a very godly man, a great preacher who traveled the world many times over, a missionary statesman. And I visited his home, and while I was in his home, he pointed to a picture on the wall, and he says, take a look at that. That was a conference I was in many years ago in Ireland. This man was some 85 years old, and this is a number of years ago. And he says, that person over to the right-hand side, that's me. And I looked at him, and it was an amazing different look that this person had when he was younger. He had that stern look. He had a hard look to himself. But here I was speaking now with this godly man who is soft and gentle spoken, just a tremendous man of God, wrote many books and a conference speaker all around the world. It was a reminder to me that's what Christ did in his life. He carved away those rough edges. And as he was obedient to the things of the Lord Jesus and listened to the voice of God in his life and was obedient to the voice of God, that's how God shaped him to become the godly man he was. And that's what God has in store for you and for me. Christ in you, it says in Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what the Lord wants in each one of us, the character of Christ to be formed in us. And so God is at work all the time in the life of the believer. We are using that verse from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It is God who works in you both the will and do of His good pleasure. And so that's what we're focusing on is this series. And we've already looked at the different ways in which God accomplishes that work in terms that we can understand. His ear is open to the prayer of the righteous. We read about that in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we know that that's a quote, really, from the Old Testament, from Psalm 34. He is always looking at the righteous. He's interested in the interested in the activities and events of those who know and love Him. And He's interested as well in what we have to say, and He is there ready to speak to us. And of course, we mentioned this morning in the previous message that His hand, the hand of the Lord, is always at work on behalf of His people. The mighty arm of the Lord is mighty to save, but He's also reaching down to help us and to guide us. And He does that through people. And so His ear and His hand and His arm. Tonight I want to take a look at another aspect of the Lord, and that's His voice. The mouth of the Lord speaks. And that's what this verse in Psalm 62 reminds us of. It says in verse 11, God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. Now, for many years, I've pondered this verse, and I'd say, what does that really mean? God only speaking once, but twice have I heard this? What have you heard twice, if God has only spoken once? And I've been puzzled about how that wording is. I've looked it up further and feel that perhaps maybe some commentators are right when they go on in verse 12 and say, well, also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy. You render to each one according to his work. So maybe it's the power and mercy that the psalmist is referring to when he says, I've heard this twice. God has spoken once, I've heard these things twice. I'm not sure. You can look it up and think about that for yourself. But what I'm interested in hearing is this, is the voice of the Lord speaking to us. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so I want to focus on that aspect of the Lord speaking to us. Every one of us, I think, in our heart of hearts, certainly wants the Lord to speak to us in a special way. You know, in the days of King Saul, it says there were a band of men who followed King Saul, men whose hearts God had touched. I love that little phrase. These are people whom God has touched. And even in a place like this, as we know for many years, this is the place where God speaks to hearts and transforms lives. That little phrase was added on. When I was working here, it was God speaking to hearts, and that was added on. I like that. Because it's not just a matter of speaking to your heart, but doing something when you are spoken to by the Lord. And the voice of the Lord is very clear in Scripture. It speaks to us. It's like the prophet Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. He said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And that should be our attitude. Every time we come to the Word of God, every time we take a seat in an auditorium where we're listening to the Word of God, our heart's prayer and our heart's desire should be this. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. That should be our attitude. I mentioned already about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Well, Cornelius had sent and dispatched a couple of servants to go at the command of the Lord to go find Peter. And when that event took place, Peter came back with his friends and the servants of Cornelius all together, a beautiful picture of the harmony of the church, how much we need to know that and hear that in our day today. Going back to the place where Cornelius was. And when they got there, Cornelius was there with his household and with his friends, and the word came down to Peter, we are all here to hear what God has commanded you to say to us. That's a great verse. And it's a reminder to us that every time we assemble, as God's people especially, we are here to listen to the voice of the Lord speak to our hearts. And that's what God does. He speaks to the heart, doesn't he? It says in Ephesians chapter 1 that our hearts have been enlightened. You know, when the gospel is preached, we don't preach to heads, we preach to hearts. Because that's the seat of the emotion for the person. And yes, we use our minds to understand, we listen with our ears, but God speaks to the hearts. And that verse tells us that the eyes of our heart, interesting way it's worded and phrased, the eyes of our hearts being enlightened. God speaks to the heart. And so we want to hear a voice from the Lord. We want to hear a message from Him. And so we need to make sure our hearts are open and soft and listening to the voice of God in our lives. You know, it'd be easy if the voice of the Lord was loud and thundered. It talks about that in Job 37. God thunders marvelously with His voice. Great things does He, which we cannot comprehend. And Psalm 29, verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory, the God of glory thunders, the Lord is upon many waters. And if the voice of the Lord came in audible terms, we could hear that and it would make sense. But that's why we need the eye of faith. That's why we need the heart when we come to the Word of God. So how does God speak to us? What are the conditions that we need to make sure that we're abiding by in order to get that message from the Lord? The Lord speaks all the time. The question is, how are we listening? I always like those two verses in the gospel accounts, separate gospel accounts. One verse says this, be careful how you hear. Be careful how you hear. Now, we often think of the verse and the phrase, or be careful what you hear, and that's found in another gospel. It's important to make sure what we're giving our ear to, what we're listening to. Be careful what you hear. But even more importantly, be careful how you hear. What's the attitude of heart when you listen? What is the condition of the heart when we listen to God's word being spoken? God speaks through his church, and that's the first point I want to bring out. God indeed does speak through his church. Now, keep that verse in mind about God has spoken once, but twice have I heard this from Psalm 62:11. And turn your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 1. I want to show you something from that very interesting portion. Revelation, you know, is a very interesting book, and I just heard someone tell me whenever he does a verse-by-verse of study of Revelation, the Bible study that he had shrinks down in size because people get nightmares when they read through some of the prophecies that are found in his book. And some of them are sound very frightening indeed. But the opening chapter is very revelatory. It's interesting because in the very beginning it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we think of it, well, that's coming from the Lord. There's another way to look at that. It's the revelation of Christ. The unveiling, the apocalypse, the unveiling, that's what that word really means. It's misused these days. Hollywood has misused it. But the revelation of Jesus Christ means it reveals who he is. And as you study the book of Revelation, you'll find there are seven different ways that the Lord is referred to in this rather long and large book. Seven different revelations of Christ. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. All those different descriptions. But the thing I want to point out is this from verse 10. Look at verse 10 of chapter 1. It says here, John, of course, is writing, the Apostle John, he's an older man at this point. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. He knew that the Lord was speaking, didn't he? He says, it was like a loud voice. It was like a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, Pergamos, to Thyatira, Sardis, to Philadelphia, and Laodicea. We know that, the seven churches that are in Revelation 2 and 3. In my Bible, it's in red ink. Maybe your Bible has the same. It's the words of the Lord. There's no question about this is the voice of the Lord speaking. But look at this carefully. He says, I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, and hears these words. And then in verse 12, it says, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, which would be the seven churches that are later described. In other words, what God is saying to us in these verses is that the voice of the Lord speaks through his church. And if we want to hear a message from the Lord, the centerpiece of that message and the distribution of that message is the church. God's program is through the church. There's no question about it. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, the church is likened unto a building and then a bride. It is like the body. It says three different metaphors that we see in the New Testament. And so the bride of Christ is extremely, extremely significant concept in the New Testament. Things revolve around the church. And if we want to hear a message from the Lord, you hear it from the pulpit, you hear it preached from the church. And that's a very crucial comment that God gives us here in this portion of Revelation. How does God speak to his people? He speaks from his word through the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we read these words. Paul says, but if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. And he's referring to the sphere of God's activities, a broad sphere of God's activities. But he says also, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. God wants the world to know that when Christians gather together, this is the centerpiece, the pillar. That's a pillar is something that holds things up. and the ground of truth. God wants to communicate his message through the church. And so God speaks through his church. This is the voice of the Lord, just as we read in Revelation chapter 1. A loud voice, but coming from God's people. Now we know it's not just one church. God is, the Lord Jesus is everywhere. And that's the wonderful picture that we see here. He's in his glorified state. And he's moving amongst the seven churches. And he is speaking a message to each one of those. But the consolidation of that whole thing is something that we need to closely look at. All the different conditions that characterize each one of these churches making up that those epistles, those letters to those seven churches. God speaks through his church. And we have to remember each time that we gather together, as we mentioned before, when we walk in through the doors of our local church, a local church is a local expression of the universal church of all those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come through those doors, God may have a message for you for that day. He does. Not may. He does have a message for you that day. And he can speak. Are you listening? That's the question. Are you in with the right heart? Felt attachment to Christ, and the condition of heart, is it such that you will hear that message? God has spoken once, but twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. And so we need to keep those things in mind. You know, God does indeed speak through his word. He speaks through his church. I remember hearing a great story about by Billy Graham. He was in Wembley Stadium with one of his crusades many years ago. Wembley Stadium is in London, England. And he was preaching on loneliness. We need those messages even today. And as he was preaching, he quoted from Psalm 102, verse 6. He said, "I'm like a pelican of the wilderness, and I'm like an owl in a desert." Some of you may have heard this story. Great story. Years later, he returned back to that area. And his wife, Ruth Graham, was in a bookstore. And she came across a person who was a vibrant, smiling Christian, just radiant Christian. And she struck up a conversation with him, and this was his testimony. He says, "You know, years ago when your husband was here and he was holding a crusade in this city, I was depressed and suicidal. And I thought there was no one that cared for me. And I heard the broadcast that your husband gave and the quotation from Psalm 102, verse 16, 'I'm like a pelican in the wilderness, like an owl in the desert.' I heard that message and I said, if God's word can address my situation, I need to look into the word of God even more." And he did, and trusted Christ as his Savior. And years later gave that wonderful testimony. Vibrant, radiant Christian. The change that took place because he listened and obeyed the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord speaks. And every time we open up the scriptures, the voice of the Lord is speaking. And he's communicating to us. The question is, are we listening? Are we making sure there's nothing between my soul and the Savior, like the hymn speaks about? We need to make sure that we have the right heart condition when we come and open the Word of God. Be careful how you hear. And so God speaks certainly through his church, the proclamation of the message of Christ all the time for his people, speaks to each one of us. Of course, there is the main part of how God speaks through to us, and that's through his word. And that verse, as I mentioned, from Psalm 62 should certainly speak to each one of us as well. What does God do when he speaks to us? What is he wanting to accomplish when he does give a message? And I think there's at least four different things. The first thing is this. He speaks to us of his ongoing presence. Now, that presence is always there. He wants us to be as close as possible to him. That great verse in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength. My God, in him shall I trust. All these wonderful verses from Psalm 91. A reminder to us that he wants us to draw near. Draw me near, near, blessed Lord. That should be the words of our heart. And that's our responsibility. But still, he loves us. He cares us. Cares for us, and so we need to keep that in mind. His presence is always there. We mentioned earlier in the message today, this morning, is that in Matthew chapter 14 is the account of Peter with the other disciples on the boat on the Sea of Galilee. It's different, incidentally, I didn't mention this, from the portion in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, the Lord is in the boat. But Matthew chapter 14, he's in the mountain. He's coming down to the boat and to see the disciples. It was Peter, of course, who is always the one that was the spokesman. And he stood up. You got to hand it to Peter. I mean, he had a lot of issues in his life, but he was out front. He desired to be with the Lord. And so there he was in the boat. And he said, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come out to the water to you." And that was the words of Peter. You know, Peter was a great person. And he said, "Bid me to come to you. Let me hear your voice." And the Lord, in the way he always does, gives that gracious invitation to come. Calling Peter out from that situation to a more difficult situation, a more trying situation. You know, that's how it is with the Lord. He's always challenging us and stretching us in our faith. He wants us to step out. Hebrews 11:6 says, "They that come to God must believe that he is," that's salvation, "and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." He's going to reward you for that stepping out. That's what Peter did. Now, if you compare that account in Matthew 14 with John chapter 6, and you carefully go after the details there, you'll see it says in John chapter 6 that he would have passed them by. In other words, it was the fourth watch of the night. That's 3 o'clock in the morning. Nothing more frightening than the middle of the night when things are dark. Not only that, they were not just in the middle of the night, they were in the middle of the sea. They were in the midst of the sea, it says. And they're in the middle of the storm. I mean, all those conditions were horrible, working against them. And the Lord came to his disciples, and all he wanted to do, it seems from John 6, was to pass them by and give them an assurance that he was there in the midst of the storm. You may be going through a storm in your personal life. Might be financial, might be marital, might be health, whatever the situation is. And we all need that a reassuring voice from the Lord that he's there. And that's what he would have done. But they were frightened. And so he took it a step further. And Peter, seeing him, it says they, when they saw him, they thought they were seeing a ghost, a spirit walking on the water. And so that's when Peter called out and said, "Lord, bid me to come to you." And he came out of the boat and stepped on that water. And he had his moments where his faith lapsed and he wavered, like many of us do in certain situations, knowing the Lord for many, many years, knowing the verses, having sat through hours and hours and hours, ate them all up, it would be like months and years of messages. And we hear these messages, and somehow we forget some of the details of our faith, don't we? And then the Lord reminds us again, just as we pointed out this morning, the Lord caught him. It says he immediately caught him. He wouldn't let him go down. And he brought him back up. They got on the boat. Boat got to shore. And what was the testimony of those disciples? "Surely now we know you are the Son of God." They knew he was the Son of God before. But now they are talking from experience. Now they are talking from the heart. Now there is a reality to their words. It wasn't just that he says he's the Son of God. They knew for themselves that he was the Son of God because he worked on their behalf. They heard the voice of the Lord. Peter was the one who responded to the voice of the Lord, and he stepped out. Is the voice of the Lord speaking to you? Maybe he's speaking to you tonight. Maybe he's telling you of something that you need to step out and do. Or he's just giving you that sense of assurance. We have friends that have been Christians for many years and may struggle with the sense of assurance of salvation. God is there to remind us of his ongoing presence. Paul needed to be reminded of the ongoing presence of the Lord when he was in jail in the Mamertine prison over in Rome, Italy. It's still there, that prison. He's writing back. It's a prison epistle, 2 Timothy. And he's writing back. This is probably his second imprisonment. And he writes back and he says, "My friends have forsaken me. You know, the Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And Crescens to Dalmatian." All these different friends that were close to him, they all forsook me. He says, "Only Luke is with me." Nevertheless, what's it say? "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and I was delivered out of the hand," or the mouth rather, "of the lion." That's the assurance that God gives his people, That's the message he gives. He speaks to them in the midst of their trials and in their troubles. As a matter of fact, I think that's perhaps when our ears are bigger, because we sense our need and we listen to the voice of the Lord. Other times we're just occupied with various things of time and sense, and we don't really hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us. In my home, back a number of years ago, it was right real close to a little country church, you might call it. And at noontime, at about 12 o'clock every day, the chimes of that church would ring out and have some gospel hymn. Church's building is still there. They don't play the hymns anymore. This is some 20 years ago or so. But you know, unless it was quiet in the house, and unless I was listening, I wouldn't hear those wonderful sounds of those hymns. But if everything was quiet and I was listening, sure enough, at noon, you would hear and be reminded of great truths, the truths of the Word of God in those hymns. And so we need to be listening carefully to the voice of the Lord, because the voice of the Lord is speaking. And He's reminding us of His presence with us all the time, even through the difficult times, even during this pandemic, when things are so difficult. And now we're hearing, as you know, in the news, all that's taking place across the world. What is going on right now? It's like the wheels are falling off. But the Lord is always there. And the Word of God is always there. And Christ is always there. And He can give you that assurance to you. And He does it through His Word. He's doing it through the preaching of the message. Even my words this evening. If there's anything that would be of help to you this evening, Christ loves you, and He's there for you to help you and guide you and encourage you and strengthen you in every way you need it. It's from the Word of God. We should never put this book, close it up, and leave it there by itself. It is a living Bible. It's a living Word of God, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, pierces, dividing asunder soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, we read. God's Word speaks to us, reminds us of His presence. Not just His presence there, but His power working in us as well. Turn in your Bibles for just a moment to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Moses needed that. The great man of God, Moses, he needed that assurance. And that record is found for us in the book of Exodus chapter 33. Look with me at verse 11. This is the Lord speaking to His great servant, Moses. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Wouldn't that be nice to have that reputation? Like a person speaks like to a friend. That's the Lord, the King of Glory, the one who created the universe. Spoke to Moses like a person speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Joshua was a faithful person. No wonder he was next in line in leadership. He didn't depart from the tabernacle. He was a faithful servant of the Lord. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight." So here's Moses talking and explaining these things back to the Lord. Verse 13, "Now therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he, God, said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." That's the promises of God right there. My presence will go with you. Verse 15, "Then he," Moses, "said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." And here is the word from the Lord. This is the message that was given to the Lord. This is the mouth of the Lord speaking. This is the message. This is the word from Him. "So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." That's a promise from the Lord, from the living Lord. And he said further on in the next verse, show me your glory. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and so forth. Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy, David said, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't forget that promise either. And so he speaks of his ongoing presence. A few other things he does as well. Speaks of the promises of God. If you're taking notes, you can just jot the references down. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is the account of Jehoshaphat. And he had to go into battle, and he aligned himself foolishly previously with wicked King Ahab. But in this occasion, he gets the report that armies are against him. And so he doesn't know what to do. And so he begins in that chapter right out front. This time, rather than making an alliance with a wicked king, he begins praying. He gathers all Judah together and starts praying. He did the right thing. And then he starts recalling the past, how God had delivered them miraculously as a nation. He recalls the past and he recounts the promises. And he goes through all his promises and he culminates it with this word, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's a great frame of mind to have when you're going into a problem. You look to the Lord. I mean, the pandemic. What are we going to do with a conference center here? With a full staff? What are we going to do? Lord, we don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. Speak to us. Speak to us and let us know. God's promise from his word is that he'll give his message to his people. They are asking for him and he will give that message. He will give wisdom. As I quoted earlier today, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness from Psalm 112. He does indeed give that message. And so Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do. Then a prophet comes in, Jahaziel by name. And he says, this is the voice of the Lord to you, Jehoshaphat, and to all of Israel. He says, set yourselves, position yourselves, go out, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And that was the message he gave. You know, God has a way of bringing somebody into the picture. He speaks through the church. He speaks through his word. He uses people to speak to you as well. God directs those people. And this prophet, Jehaziel, came in at just the right moment. And he had a word from the Lord for Jehoshaphat. And there are people that you come across in your experience, and you may not realize it. Yes, they're people, and they're people with problems. But at a particular moment, God will put the words in their mouth. And it's the voice of God speaking to you. And I can tell you that through personal experience. When I was considering full-time ministry for the Lord, I remember a sister in our meeting just talking to me, not realizing the background. She was totally unaware. That's when you knew that the Lord was speaking. She was totally unaware of what I was thinking through a particular situation. And as she spoke, it was like I was in a different dimension. I tell you, I heard her speak. 30-some years ago, it was like it was yesterday. It so burned in my brain. The image of her speaking. I can remember the way she was standing. I can remember what she was saying. I probably could remember what she was wearing. And it was the voice of the Lord speaking to me. And it was one of those moments, it was very clear to me, that God from heaven was speaking through a person to give me direction. And I knew it. There was no doubt in my mind. It's the voice of the Lord. It's the mouth of the Lord speaking. He speaks to his people. And he's got a message for us. We need to make sure that we're tuned in and we're listening. Be careful how you hear. There's another great verse in Psalm 85. And it's the verse that reminds us that God speaks peace to his people. Now you walk on these grounds right down the pathway here. I think the sign is still there. It was here when I was here years ago. Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Now, those verses were put up there perhaps by some colony men years ago. I don't know who put them up. But I can understand someone with any addictive background saying, Lord, speak peace to your people and let us not return back to folly. They understood the folly of their ways. All of us were foolish and disobedient, Titus 3 tells us. We all have had some measure of folly in one way or another in our lives, and giving heed to that. But here is a reminder that the Lord will speak peace to his people. And he speaks peace to his people because the Holy Spirit is in the life of every single believer, and the Lord has said that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and he'll call to mind in our remembrance everything that he has taught. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. And so God gives us peace, and he speaks peace to his people. One last thing I want to mention is that he speaks to our problems. You know, all these things are great and they sound wonderful and they're nice promises, but sometimes we have problems and we need to hear the voice of the Lord speak to us and tell us, no, that was not right, or this is not a right attitude. And we have to come before the Lord. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we all with unveiled face, beholding in, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God will reveal the Scriptures and enlighten the Scriptures, and things will jump out. Reading the Scriptures passage, I remember one time reading a verse, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I just had sat down to do some Bible study, and the very first verse I read, I had to stop and say, this is God speaking to me. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It was like that verse was written for me. That's the voice of the Lord. Elijah, he had his lapse in his faith, wandered in a wilderness for 40 days. Every 40-day experience you see in God's, the experience of God's people is always a time of testing. It was testing for him as well. And he went down to Horeb, which is another name for Mount Sinai. And there God showed him a cleft in the rock. Maybe it was the same cleft that Moses was spoken to in Exodus 33 that we just looked at. Anyway, he's there. God's speaking to him, and God said to Elijah, you get out from this cliff. And that was the word that God gave to him. But you know, Elijah didn't act on that. And you know the portion, the earthquake came, God was not in the earthquake, the wind came, God was not in the wind, the fire came, God was not in the fire, but a still small voice. The voice of the Lord often is a still small voice. Why, Elijah was looking for the great manifestations of God's power, rip through the rocks and blow everything down, and a fire that devours. That's what Elijah wanted. He wanted a big, loud demonstration of the power of God. But what was it? It was a still, small voice. God had already spoken to Elijah, didn't come make him come out on that edge of that cliff. Elijah was looking for something else to get him out there. And there's a whole bunch of spiritual lessons that are in that for us, with all the self-pity and the anger that he was going through and thinking he was the only one left. But the voice of the Lord spoke to him. And then it says, Elijah wrapped his face in his mantle. He was ashamed of himself because he was thinking he was the only one available. And God had to tell him there were 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal. And so God speaks to us in our problems, and he reprimands us too, and he rebukes us. And that's why the Word of God is a very powerful thing. It's the inspired by God, and it's good for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All the things that we read about in 2 Timothy. Well, how about you? Are you hearing the voice of the Lord? Is the Lord speaking to you? If he is, let me encourage you with these words. Just as the Lord's mother Mary said to his servants, whatever he says to you, do it. If the Lord is speaking to you, you obey the Lord. And God will speak to us. You know, make sure that that message is given. We need to be listening. Listening with the ears of our heart, as we mentioned before. The voice of the Lord, one of those ways in which the Lord works in us both the will and do of his good pleasure. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we again thank you for your precious word. that does indeed speak to our hearts. Lord, we're so thankful that we have the pathway to the palace of the King to bring our requests to. But not only that, Lord, we have a two-way communication mechanism, our prayer and your message speaking back to us, speaking to us in love and care and concern. But Father, maybe sometimes for us to be reprimanded and rebuked, that happens as well. But we pray, Father, we would be obedient to whatever you would have us to hear. And so we're thankful again, Father, for your precious word that reminds us of these truths. We give thanks in the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.